You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, following his clash with US President Donald Trump, has once again initiated discussions to move forward a minerals deal with his US counterpart. During the original discussions, Trump, alongside US Vice President J.D. Vance, berated Zelensky, which resulted in the Ukrainian president walking out of the Oval Office without signing a minerals deal between the two nations, which the White House says is a precursor to peace talks. This all comes as the US has abruptly halted US military aid to Ukraine. News and editorial director Joel spoke to the honorary academic and retired associate professor in politics and international relations at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoadley, about this crash and his opinion that Trump will do a U-turn and start providing military aid to Ukraine despite the US aligning closer to Russia. They started off by asking how important this minerals deal is regarding the relationship between the US and Ukraine.
Well, just to go back a step, this whole encounter was deplorable. It was a setup. This was pre-planned by J.D. Vance in particular, who has voted consistently against aid to Ukraine, and with Donald Trump going along with it, to publicly embarrass Zelensky at his very large press conference. The media from around the world, it didn't have to be that way. It could be closed behind closed doors. They could have reached an agreement, but it was pre-planned to make sure that Zelensky was put in an impossible position, and then he didn't walk out. He was ejected. There was shooting. There was to have been a press core meeting afterwards, but apparently, the president made it clear he didn't want anything more to do with Zelensky, and he was summarily invited to leave the White House. Importance? Yes, we know that the United States has provided about half of the aid to Ukraine. The Europeans and New Zealand and dozens of other countries have provided the other half. So a cutoff of U.S. aid is certainly very important, going to be very make it much more difficult for the Ukrainians to defend themselves without American weapons, without American real-time intelligence, without American resupply of artillery shells for surface-to-air missiles to defend Ukraine against the deal seems to be that if Ukraine would work with the United States to exploit the minerals in Ukraine, then the United States would consider providing more security and continuing the military aid as before. So that seems to be the sticking point. And that to answer your question, yes, the minerals deal is essential. It is what the United States is requiring, alongside an apology. Now, what kind of apology? We're not entirely sure. What should Zelensky apologize for? He has not said the A word yet. He has indeed reiterated that he would like to go ahead with the minerals deal. He does recognize the leadership of the United States. He is made all kinds of positive statements, everything short of using the A word, apology. But for some reason, the Trump and J.D. Vance seem to attach enormous importance to Zelensky uttering the apology word or something very close to it as one of the prerequisites to resume the negotiation.
Regarding this minerals deal, what do you think will happen next regarding these talks and future talks of peace negotiations, especially regarding how J.D. Vance's and Trump's actions at the Oval Office?
Well, I think the deal will go ahead. It may be modified. It may be delayed. The best you can say about Trump is that this is a forceful negotiating tactic. He is illustrating by pausing the weapons deliveries that he's entirely serious about it, and that Zelensky is obligated now to make the next move to come back to Washington, symbolically, if not literally, and to sign the deal. Now, how it will actually work is a little bit unclear. As I understand it, the minerals are owned either by the Ukrainian government or by private landholders. That is, it might be somebody's farm under which some minerals might be found. Well, first of all, the Ukrainian government's going to have to buy the rights to these mineral exploitations. It invites in American companies to actually do the digging and refining or whatever is required to be accepted. The costs are subtracted, and whatever left over, that is the profit, is then divided equally between the Ukrainian and United States governments. That seems to be the deal. Whether it's 500 billion or 300 billion, I think that figure is yet to be negotiated. The United States wants 500 billion. In fact, it is not given that figure. It's given only one-fifth of that figure in the value of economic and military aid. So it's an unreasonable demand from my point of view. I think most reasonable people would say it's the United States is gouging, is extorting value from Ukraine. Very infrequently do governments demand payment for military support. The Europeans demanded payment from Germany as reparations for World War I, and they got Hitler. That should be a lesson that and the United States did not demand reparations from Japan and Germany after World War II, and they got democracy and staunch allies. So it seems to me that these two lessons somehow have not been learned by the Trump administration, and that they are applying very old-fashioned thinking, you know, the pre-Nazi era World War I thinking to this reparations idea, which is not going to work. And so most experts are saying this is a recipe for either stalemate where we are today. I think it'll probably move forward in another day or two, but if it remains at stalemate, then the only winners are the Russians.
As you have briefly touched on, many are concerned that the moves made by the Trump administration are aligning more with Russia, as recently we have seen the administration indicate lifting U.S. sanctions on the country, as well as halting sharing intelligence on Russia with Ukraine. If the Trump administration were to backtrack a little with this minerals deal, and if the administration were to resume military aid to Ukraine, what would this mean between the current relationship between the U.S. and Russia?
It would certainly cool the relationship a little bit. Now, the relationship is not warm. Putin has not said anything nice about the U.S. except that the U.S. has finally come to its senses and now is aligning with Russian values and strategies. In other words, the United States is now subordinate to Russia. Well, that's outrageous. One cannot say that there is rapprochement. It has to say that, and as you point out, if the deal goes ahead, the Ukraine signs over some mineral rights, the United States resumes some military aid, the Ukrainians continue to defend their own territory, the Russians continue to attack, there will not be a settlement. Donald Trump will not be happy. He wants an instant end to the war so he can take credit for being the peacemaker, and he can then, his application for a Nobel Prize can go forward. Well, okay, those circumstances, there's a lot of ifs, a lot of moving parts happening at the moment. It is all not going to fit together very well, but behind it all is the fact that Putin in Russia is determined and has been for two decades to restore Russian hegemony over the as much of Eastern Europe, many countries of which are now democratic and anti-Russian, like Poland and Romania and Bulgaria, and that the core problem has not been solved. That is, Putin's aggression remains the core problem. The initiator of the war, the perpetrator of the war, the bombing, of Ukrainian cities, the aggression on land, the non-cooperation. And I don't think that relieving Russia of sanctions and peace talks and so forth are going to alter the long-range goals of Vladimir Putin and his cronies in the Kremlin.
And what are you hoping will come out of all of this?
I'm hoping that Donald Trump and Vladimir Zelensky will sign a minerals agreement that the United States will resume essential military aid. It may be scaled down a little bit to save Donald Trump's face and J.D. Vance's face, but the essential things will continue, like artillery shells, surface-to-air missiles to defend against Putin's missiles, but the fighting will continue. The fighting could stop yesterday if Putin simply stops bombing Ukraine. It's as simple as that. So the ball really is in Russia's court. So I think a resumption of U.S. aid, which could be made possible by some skillful diplomacy by the Ukrainians, and I think they can achieve this, and certainly the Europeans want it to be achieved, so there's a lot of people on Zelensky's side, including the Democrats in the United States. It's including New Zealand, that will make it possible, but it will not bring an end to the war. The only way the war will come to an end is if Russia stops shooting. It is dead simple.
That was honorary academic and retired associate professor in politics and international relations at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoadley, about Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and US President Donald Trump's spat at the Oval Office during mineral deal discussions and Zelensky's commitment to continue these discussions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.